This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are going to be here till 11 o'clock, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. I know it's a lovely Saturday morning, but you could be anywhere on the in the country and listen to us via the Odyssey app, via the interwebs, and feel free to call in. We'd be happy to help you out. 860-522-9842 is the number. And if you're using a cell phone, it shouldn't cost you anything. So keep that in mind. Also, before we get into technology stuff, Dennis and I, this is our last day for our Miracle on Ice moment. A couple of rank amateurs here going up against big radio. You know, we want to win the contest if possible of the Hartford Current Best Of. And it would just be neat to say we did it. So feel free to go to the Hartford Current page there. They've got a Best Of. And go on down there and look for Computer Talk with Tab. And select that as your favorite radio program. And let's see if we can go up against big radio, a couple of rank amateurs here on a Saturday morning program. We're not holding our breath, but we do appreciate any support. It would be just kind of neat if that happened. So I want to thank you guys in advance, for going out there and even taking your time to do it. So we appreciate it. There's all of the things you can vote for if you like, too. I hear we're good at pizza. All right, so technology news. So this is a story. I hear this a lot from when I talk to people about why are breaches so important and why do we keep talking about breaches and why should we be worried about breaches and what's going on with breaches. This is the reason we talk about breaches. So a college football coach has been indicted for stealing private data of 150,000 athletes.
150,000.
This guy was prolific.
Whoa.
He's a former University of Michigan offensive coordinator. He's offensive, all right. Matthew Weiss. He allegedly targeted female college athletes and stole their personal videos and photos. So the Justice Department charged him, he's 42, with doing this. And he downloaded this data from 150,000 student athletes. And allegedly, Weiss used the stolen data to help him break into social media and email cloud accounts belonging to over 2,000 athletes. So he primarily targeted female college athletes, and he researched the targets, Those targeted women based on their school affiliations, athletic history, physical characteristics, and his goal was to obtain private photographs and videos never intended to be shared. The old fappening we talked about in the past.
Well, yeah, Megan Nudies. Yeah, right.
So he's been conducting the hacking activities from 2015 to 2023. This guy's got nothing better to do. Yep. Nothing better to do than try to hack into women's social media accounts. And he was put on leave from the football team as campus police began investigating. So basically he used a third-party vendor, Kiefer Development Services, and it operates an athletic trainer system which stores medical information on student athletes. He obtained the access to these databases through compromising the passwords of the accounts with elevated levels of access, such as the accounts of trainers, athletic directors. So he's breaking into other people's accounts.
Yep.
And then, of course, he's able to download the passwords that the athletes themselves use to access the system. Well, of course, guess what they probably did? Use those passwords elsewhere.
Right.
That's what happens when a hack occurs.
Right.
So using the combined information that he obtained from the student athlete database and his internet research, Weiss was able to obtain access to the social media, email, and cloud storage accounts of more than 2,000 targeted athletes by guessing or resetting their passwords. So, of course, if you have two-factor authentication turned on, you can't do that.
Right.
So he broke into online accounts for 1,300 other students and alumni. So he's using exploited vulnerabilities in the university accounts authentication process, which, of course, the exploited vulnerability most likely is they don't have 2FA turned on, if I had to guess. Mm-hmm. And he faces 14 counts of unauthorized access to computers and 10 counts of aggravated identity theft, which carries a maximum penalty of 90 years.
Wow.
Set him away, man. I'm fine with that.
Let
him rot.
Absolutely.
You're going to do this kind of stuff to people. So, again, moral of the story is turn two-factor on for everything.
Yeah. Right?
This guy had nothing better to do. I mean, he could have been playing video games, but no. He has to go and do this. And just so you know, this is just one guy sitting in probably his mom's basement still at 43 doing this kind of work, which is just awful. Now think about all the folks who have even more time on their hands sitting in Uzbekistan trying to hack your accounts, and they might not just be your social media accounts they're going after. So we'll put this story up there. You can read it for yourself, but it really is important that you secure your accounts as best you can. And one of the best ways is having very complicated passwords.
Right.
Right. Don't use them in the same places.
Right. Don't use the same password over and over again, because while it may be great to log into your bank with ice cream, you don't want to log into everything else with ice cream.
Right. And ice cream is a bad
password. Ice cream is a bad password to begin with. Yeah.
we recommend pass phrases. So you'd want to have the word, you know, if you're logging into your bank, these guys don't know how to give me enough interest to make it worth my time to log into this bank at all in the first place. Something, some sort of password like that, exclamation point. Got to add that special character. And then, of course, the second factor, right? You got to turn on your two-factor authentication. And you need to have a long password and complicated password for everything you do. Write it down. Use a password manager if you like. You know, we talk about Bitwarden. We talk about simple index cards where you simply write the password down and store it away. Easily done, and then turn that second factor on, whether it be authenticator, whether it be a Yubico key, whether it be, unfortunately, SMS-style two-factor. Just have some sort of second factor turned on so that you can protect your accounts. What else you got, Dennis? Anything else you want to bring up?
Well, we have an example of a famous company shooting itself in the foot once again.
A famous one that is dear to our hearts?
Oh, yeah. Microsoft over in Redmond.
Oh, those guys.
As some of you know by now, they have been pushing an app that they call Copilot.
AI.
And it's an AI app.
Yes.
Okay. It's separate from what used to be Office 365, which became Microsoft 365, and which they are now also calling Copilot.
Right,
and but that's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's not the little paperclip. Remember Clippy?
Right, Clippy. It's not Clippy. At any rate, they've been pushing people to use this thing for, I don't know, a year or so.
At least.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, which is one of our favorite phrases.
Got a nickel.
With this month's security updates to Windows 11.
Yeah.
Copilot app that they deployed on all of these computers went poof. It's gone. And now they have had to fix that update and then roll the app out to the computers that all lost it. And yeah. I mean, this is their marketing future.
Yeah.
And they yanked it off millions of computers. You cannot make this up.
No.
You can't.
AI is the thing. I've been to conferences recently. All you heard was the word AI. Microsoft removes its quote-unquote premier AI product during an update. What does that tell you? It tells you the same thing you've been listening to on this program for the past 35 years. It's like the B team doing the update work. They didn't even bother checking. If I have a system as it's running right now and I do an update, will it work in the same or better way? There's like nobody in that role. Like you don't have some Skippy sitting in some corner saying, okay, wait, let me just check everything here before we send it out to the planet. And they're not doing it, obviously, because if they were, somebody would notice their AI was missing before the planet found out.
Right.
And it's beyond embarrassing. I mean, the analogy would be like you're buying a car and they forgot the wheels. It's that important. It's AI, right? This is the future of our planet is, you know, before AI either becomes cognizant or not cognizant or conscious, you know. We have ding dongs like this putting it out. It should give you pause, right? Do you want a company like this working on AI, right? Are these the geniuses you want working on the AI in the future if they don't even know how to update it and not remove it from their own operating system? It should give us all pause, right? You wonder why those movies actually make sense. You're like, oh, I guess I can see why Skynet started right up. Skynet said, these guys are ding dongs. So we'll put the link up there. You can read it and weep. Again, it's a $1 trillion company, so we have no choice, right? There's so few alternatives, if any, to running an operating system. Now, again, when Android becomes a more readily installed operating system on laptops and PCs, Microsoft is going to have to be like figuring something out fast.
Yeah.
Because if my computer worked the way my phone did, we would be this show wouldn't even exist. Because you would have no problems, because my phone does not have any issues. I can pretty much do anything I want on my phone without any issues, without ever talking to tech support. I can control a thermostat in Florida. I can book a plane. I can get a car. I can, you know, march. You guys know the list is endless, right? And I haven't had to call tech support for any of it. So, but with Microsoft, all right. I don't have any other news. Carolyn's going to get mad at me. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We have plenty of news. We're going to be here 11 o'clock. Feel free to get in line and vote for us often if you're in Bridgeport. We know that's how you operate down there. So nobody will care. Just go ahead and vote 7-10 times for us. We don't mind. On the Hartford Current Best Of, we are fighting against big radio. A couple of rank amateurs, unpaid ding-dongs, pasty white computer geeks sitting in this little studio happily giving you our best advice we can on a Saturday morning. So think of us as one of the best in Connecticut. We would really appreciate it. We'll be right back. We are back, and we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and we'd love to chat with you guys about your computer comments, questions, and concerns, and we'll do our best to help you out, as we always do. The 30th year of this program being in some way, shape, or form on WTIC.
30 years. Yeah. Woo!
I don't know what I was doing when I started, but I was a news talk radio junkie at the age of 25. So we're happy to be here and help you guys out. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And let's get right to your calls. We got our buddy Stefan in New Britain. Hey, Stefan, what's up?
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Yeah. Every time I tune in, I feel so much better about using a Microsoft product.
It's not us. It's them.
Yeah. Well, you know, about the AI, I hope it didn't, but when I got my update, I hope it's missing.
You're not the only one either.
Yeah.
Let's create something that's way smarter than us and give it control of everything.
Not yet. We're not there yet.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, here's something disturbing.
Mm.
I get an electronic paycheck because it saves the company money.
Yeah.
So I go, it pops up in my email, my Gmail account, and I have to enter a passcode to be able to read it because it's a PDF.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I entered a passcode. It opens. Okay.
Yeah.
And I see it on the screen. Then I go to hit print because I like a hard copy of it.
Yeah.
I'm old fashioned that way.
All right.
And then this Malwarebytes thing pops up and it says, do not go to this site, malicious content or something like that. And it offers a link to another site. And as I look at that link, I say to myself, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, I am not clicking that link. So what I did was I downloaded the image and I printed it out. But there's some, I looked on the web, there's some sort of scam.
Yeah.
Going on with Malwarebytes. Because there was like this warning from Malwarebytes that popped up.
Yeah.
And it said, do not go to this website when I hit print. And
right.
It says, go to this link. And of course, I didn't hit the link.
Yeah, yeah. So Malwarebytes, it seems, has some sort of exploit protection. And it could be that the exploit protection is the issue. You may want to disable it because it's incorrectly false positive.
It sounds like a false positive.
Okay, because like on my phone, pops up fine.
Right.
Okay, yeah. But I don't have a wireless to my my printer for my phone, and that's deliberate.
Yeah.
But so that was like a false positive.
Most likely.
Yeah. You might want to go into the Malwarebytes web protection settings, and I think there's a way to whitelist a domain. What you should do is look at the domain that's being loaded at the time that you're trying to print, and just add that domain as
this
safe.
This has never happened before. I've done it
They could have changed their definitions and suddenly they're listing a particular site as malicious when it's not.
Right.
I mean, it's just a garden variety false positive scenario,
yeah.
And we see it.
Okay.
You know, all the time.
Yeah, every day, every day, every hour. Any update that occurs on your system from any software can impact another software.
And in this case, it might not even be an update to the Malwarebytes software. It could be an update to their definitions.
Yeah.
Which are coming in daily and sometimes multiple times daily.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah.
Your computer can work completely different. Every time you boot it up, that's why. That's why it's such a big pain in the butt. Same,
yeah.
I mean, it shouldn't work that way. It's like, you know, when you walk down to your refrigerator, is it going to be a different refrigerator every time you see it?
Yeah,
that's the way your computer works.
Yeah, this morning you may open up your refrigerator and your milk is on the bottom shelf instead of the top.
Exactly.
And then tomorrow it'll be on a middle shelf.
Yeah.
I see. Because I was. If I get Proton email, the paid version, because I was hearing you talk about it last weekend, and I can get my own domain name through GoDaddy.com.
Yes, sir.
You can.
Okay. Now, my thing is...
We got a hard break, Stefan. Can you wait for the after the break to ask your question?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Sorry. All right, so we're going to have Stefan's second question after the break here, and then we got a call coming in from Waterbury, and two lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number, and we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And yes, you can have your own email address that is actually at you.
Right.
Rather than at some internet provider. All right. So we're back, and we're going to talk more with Stefan, who wants to understand how to set up his own private email address. All right, you're back, Stefan. What was your question again?
Yeah. Okay, so for the Proton paid email.
Yeah.
Right. Now, all my email accounts, are they automatically switched to Proton? Does Proton do that, or do I have to laboriously do each one?
You do.
You have to do it.
Oh.
Yeah, nothing's easy, but it's not hard either. But you do have to say to yourself, okay, I'm going to go ahead and create this account. This will be a once-and-for-all account, technically, unless Proton goes away, which can happen. Anybody can go away.
They can.
So you're going to configure your new email address, and then you're going to go to anything that's important to you, right? You can leave all the junk stuff where it is, like at the Gmail. Look, Gmail is where I leave all my junk. I don't even read the email box. You can then go ahead and configure your Proton for your important stuff, like your paycheck. Wouldn't that be nice to know that it's coming to you encrypted rather than through Gmail and Google saying, Stefan, you should get paid more, but we don't care that much. they're not reading your email. Nah. So you can go ahead and set up those accounts. And then, yes, you'd log into your services using your new Stefan@Stefan.com. And you now have your own mailbox, and it's going to be encrypted. And going forward, it's a much more secure way to have email, period. It's encrypted. Nobody can get into your mail no matter what. Not that you're doing anything wrong, but it's none of their damn business anyways, right? So you have encrypted email that the folks at Proton can't open even if they wanted to.
Oh, okay. But is there any option in Gmail to find out where all my Gmail accounts are?
Not that I've ever heard of. You need to know what email account you used to set up whatever services you're using. Like if you log into your YouTube account or whatever it might be, you have to know those things.
Right.
So unfortunately, you have to kind of have good hygiene as far as that goes. But understand that what you have now for free could go away tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I imagine that. I wish some of it would, but...
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so that's what I have to do. Okay, thank you guys very much. Once again, you're the best.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for listening.
Yeah. All right, so let's
go. And for calling, too.
Yeah, he's going to be a regular. So four lines wide open, 860-522-9842 is the number. And yeah, we should be considering these days getting away from internet-provided email. When I say internet, it's usually your ISP that provides it.
Well, yeah, in the old days, that's who would give you an email account.
Right.
And under normal circumstances, that's fine because that's supported.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have a problem with it, you can call them and you're going to get support because it's part of what
the service
you are paying them to do.
Right.
But the problem is the free accounts and stuff that you don't really have any actual support for. And then, you know, you're left hanging sometimes if something goes wrong.
And the other thing that you should be aware of is that, again, if for whatever reason somebody wants to look at what email, what is going on with your correspondence, for whatever reason, they don't even have to tell you it's being asked for. They can have the third party can be snooping around in your email and looking for whatever they want to look for. And you're not going to be notified.
Right.
So that's another aspect of privacy that we're losing in this country. And thankfully, you can proactively avoid that degradation of privacy that's occurring over in the UK right now. They're battling over this type of thing.
Yes, they are.
They want back doors.
Yeah. And the UK government isn't negotiating about it. They're just saying, you're going to open that back door. That's right. It. And in the case of Apple, they said, no, we're not complying. But that in turn forces them to turn off security functions for iCloud accounts.
Right.
Because they can't legally do it in the UK anymore.
So it's instead of creating a back door, they're just leaving the door wide open.
Well, yeah, because they have no choice. That's what I'm getting at. The UK isn't, there's no discussion. It's this is the way it is.
But again, the folks in the UK could go to the Swiss-based Proton and say UK £.
And Proton doesn't have to comply with the UK.
No.
Because they're not in the UK.
So It's an option that is something we all need to be aware of and consider. And again, when you set up a more secure email system, you're less likely to be hacked. You're less likely to get phishing schemes. You're less likely to be targeted because, again, it's harder to find you. And, I mean, obviously, you will still be found on the dark web because your email address is into those people. You know, whoever services you're using, if they're impacted, they'll find out, oh, I see Eric's email out there, and now I'll try to attack him. But it's just less likely. You're not going to be part of bulk campaigns like Microsoft 365 victims are such targets of. You're going to have to be more spearfished, more targeted. All right, let's go to your calls. We got Zig in Wilmington, North Carolina. What's happening there, Zig?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I like that Proton. That's I've heard you recommend that a couple of times, but my question this time is, I've got an A20 Samsung phone.
Yep.
And a Brother printer, MFCJ895DW. And whenever I go to print, either from the Gmail that I want to print, or from a website that I've gone to that I want to print, I go to share, and it looks for my printer. Mm-hmm. The circle goes around for a while, and then the printer icon shows up, but just for a microsecond. And then it goes away, and the circle goes around, and get another message says printer not available. And then the printer icon shows up again for a microsecond. And the way to get something printed is just to try to coordinate my finger with when that printer icon shows up, and it prints fine.
Really? Oh, that sounds like trouble. Yeah. All right, I'm going to ask a dumb question. You've got, two dumb questions. Number one, you have the Brother iPrint and Scan app on the phone, right?
Yes.
All right. Do you also have...
And that's where I share.
Right. And that's how you'll see it. Right. You see Brother iPrint and Scan. The other question I have is, do you have the Brother print service installed on the phone? It's an adjunct that's required. Well, in the Google Play market, there is a Brother print service that you also have to install. And it is a background service that runs on the Android. It's not an app. It's listed as if it were an app in order to get it. But once it's on your phone, it's not an app that you interact with. It just runs in the background, and it learns how to communicate with Brother printers on your network, and it makes them available to the app. It's kind of a two-step process when you get this set up on the phone, unfortunately, okay. But that's part of how the Android operating system works.
Mm-hmm.
We can get a link to that app in the Google Play market. We'll post that for you.
Yeah, it might give you more regular or ease of printing than you're getting now. That communication seems to be sort of working, but not fully working.
Yeah, we worked fine. Again, we're at a continuing care place down here,
mm-hmm.
and we had printer issues a long time ago, and we learned to get around the printer issues by installing our own router. And the service comes, or the villa comes with a Spectrum router modem in the ceiling.
Yeah.
And at one point, we installed a router, and the printer worked fine at that time. And then the Spectrum people came back and said, hey, the printers, the routers are interfering with us.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got to take out their personal
devices.
Routers.
Yeah. It's called Rogue IT, Zig. You put in some Rogue IT. We find it in businesses all the time of employees trying to get around things or quote unquote make things work, and it causes more trouble.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's one thing. But again, we think it's your phone, because if you're able to see the printer and get it to work, but you have to keep kind of finagling your phone itself, I think Dennis is on the right track in that it's probably just needs to be better tweaked or better configured with the app.
Well, you need the service, because the service runs in the background and it keeps making that printer available to apps on your phone,
mm-hmm.
which is the iPrint and Scan. And I think what's happening is iPrint and Scan is coming up. It's trying to find a printer. Oh, I think I found one over here, but then it can't really talk to it right, so it goes away. Mm-hmm. And back and forth, you're getting kind of a loop with that. But if the service runs in the background, it kind of will grab a slot, so to speak, mm-hmm. for the printer. The app gets that. It looks at it and says, oh, I know where that thing is, and yep. it knows how to send to it.
Perfect. Makes a lot of sense to me. I'll give that a try.
Yep. Sounds good, Zig. We'll put a link up there for you, too, on computertalkwithtab.com.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And thanks for chiming in. And don't forget, okay. even though you're not in Connecticut, you can tell the current we're the best in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah. I tell the people here all the time because listen live or podcast, either way works great down here. mm-hmm. And you're my go-to guys. And, Proton, do I look up Proton Mail, or how do I, what's the first step for Proton?
I think you can go to, there's a link on our website already.
Yeah, we'll put
just
a link.
Just go look for that.
it's proton.me.
Proton.me yeah. gets you to all of their products. And I think protonmail.com might work too, but yeah. don't take my word for that right now. Just go to our website and then get the link to Proton Mail.
Okay. And the takeaway on our conversation today was great because you mentioned that you keep all your junk with Google
mm-hmm.
Mail or Gmail. And wow, that's that was something I was concerned with. So Proton can be used for any of the just like second factor authorization or yeah. second factor, whatever you call it.
Yep, 2FA.
Verification, yeah, two-factor.
Yep, so yeah, you're going to have create an account that's for important things, and then as far as I'm concerned, your whatever's free can be your throwaway.
Yeah, that was a really good takeaway. I hadn't thought of that. Thank you very much, guys.
You're welcome, Zig.
Yeah, and as an aside, I mean, even if you're doing business normally with the Proton account, if you know one of the services you're using it with wants a secondary account so that you can get control of your account if something goes wrong with your Proton Mail,
yep.
you can always use that Gmail account for that, right. just in an emergency or in a pinch. So, yeah, it's always good to have the two addresses.
All right, sounds good. We're going to step out for a quick break. Hope that helped you, Zig. And thank you for checking in from North Carolina. We'll be right back after this. We'll be right back, actually. All right. We are back. We're here till 11 o'clock. That's a little no BS brass for you. And just before we go to the next caller, I'm going to use my Len Giddix voice from Garden Talk. The only advice, because I'm not much of a gardener, that Len ever gave that I found was the most valuable advice I ever heard on Garden Talk for me. I'm sure lots of people got a lot of great advice, but the most valuable advice I ever heard is around this time of year, do not rake your yard in the spring. Because he said, if you do, you're planting all the weed seeds in your grass. So don't do it. Don't plant the weed seeds by raking your yard in the spring. And I've done that now ever since I heard that, and that saved me many a weekend and many a hand. I've got soft, supple computer hands. My hands are, they're pansy hands, right? So getting out there with a rake, you get all those nasty blisters. He saved me all the blisters, too. So I want to thank Len. I thank him in my mind every springtime for not raking the weed seeds into my yard. So my wife and I used to get out there every time March Madness was on. We'd have the basketball games running in the background, kids running around, and we'd be raking in the yard. And he's like, don't do that. Oh, my goodness. So I give you permission per Len not to do it. Let's get to your calls. Let's go to Bob in Hebron next. What's going on, Bob?
Hi, guys. Love the show.
Thanks.
It's always fun calling in. I guess this is Proton Mail Day because I had a few questions about them. I leave myself logged into my Proton Mail.
All right, that's fine.
And so it's always it's open anytime. Like I boot up my computer and open up my Firefox browser, then it comes into view, and I can start using it. Do you see that as being a problem?
No.
No.
Okay. Great.
Unless you don't trust whoever you're living with.
Nope. So far, so good on that one.
All right.
When are my emails in Proton Mail? When are they encrypted and when are they unencrypted?
Great question.
Yeah.
So the way I describe it, and Dennis might do it even more technically, but when you open that message, it's now being decrypted and shown to you. But when it came from you to whoever, when it got into your mail, in your mailbox, or headed towards you, it was encrypted. So when they sent it to Bob at Proton, the moment they did that and submitted that message, it became encrypted within the system and then decrypted when you opened it. So it can't be intercepted. It's in the system encrypted. There's keys on your end that you know that Proton doesn't know that allow for that encryption to occur. Now, Dennis, is there any further technical things that you want to bring up in any encryption that's going to make people's hair hurt?
I don't know how deep I want to go with this.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't get encrypted until it gets to my mailbox in Proton.
Once it's in that mailbox, yes, it is encrypted there.
Right.
And it remains encrypted.
But not until.
Well, until it reaches Proton Mail's systems.
Yeah, until it's left.
There's no way to control what happens with it.
Right. Okay? Yeah, that makes
sense. Now, the one thing that I'm going to say is that I would say 90% of mail servers in the world talk to each other using SSL, or TLS to be specific.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the same thing that puts the little lock on a website that you're visiting.
Right.
And it makes it secure.
In transit.
It is a secure transit. Right. Mm-hmm. But not all of them do that. Sometimes when an email server gets bogged down and slowed down, maybe having to send and receive mail, it may disable the encryption for some messages in order to be able to catch up, because encryption takes up computing cycles. Now,
real quick though. So if you've got a sender who's sending to you and he's sending from Gmail,
right?
The sent message can be discovered. Right. So the person could say, hey, Bob, I've got this great stock pick. You're going to buy it now. That message on the Gmail side is discoverable forever, because his mailbox is not as encrypted as yours is.
True.
Somebody can come in and say, oh, this guy's sharing inside information. I'm going to put him in jail, like right with Martha Stewart. Right. That message is not something you can secure. Now, if he uses Proton and sends a Proton to Proton, guess what?
That stock pick is completely secure
and Martha wouldn't have gone to jail.
It's locked down at every point. Now, when you read an email, that email is sitting encrypted in Proton systems.
Mm-hmm.
You're using a web browser to get to it. And that is going to be sent to your computer. But again, that's going to be using a TLS connection, which is encrypted.
Mm-hmm.
But it is decrypted on your computer. Because there's no other way to show it to you unless it gets decrypted.
You'd be reading the Matrix.
So that has to occur at your end. And that is where decryption takes place.
And that's where, if you have somebody you don't trust in your home, you've done all that security, and then they sit down at your computer and it's wide open. You're like, oh,
and
what's Bob
also
reading?
When it goes out of Proton to another email service, then it either is decrypted or it potentially is decrypted on its way.
Right.
So those are the things that Proton can't account for.
All right.
Okay. Okay. So when I'm looking at my inbox and I'm seeing five or six emails there waiting to get clicked on.
Hang on, Bob. Heartbreak. Let me put you on hold. I want to get this question. Can you wait?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. We'll be right back.